Financial services company Alexander Forbes came out with their interim results today. For the 6 months ended September 2018, the company reported that headline earnings per share declined by 23% to 16.7 cents. The group's profit before taxation from continuing operations came in at 141 million rand. That's 70% less than their profit level at the same time last year. While profit from continuing operations for the period was down 115%, resulting in a loss of 45 million rand. A decision to halt an IT investment played a large role in the less than flattering numbers. But to tell us the backstory, I'm joined in studio by Davi de Villiers. He's the newly appointed CEO at Alexander Forbes. Thanks very much for joining us, Davi.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good stuff. So the numbers I've outlined are not really that great. So what, in your view and in your knowledge, were the main drivers behind the latest performance?
Yeah, I think I'll try and explain. The underlying numbers is actually satisfactory, but the main driver was the IT project that we stopped, and I think there's a long history to it. We tried to do everything. We tried to be this get this perfect big solution, IT solution as a platform 2 years ago for the whole business. And I think it was just maybe a bit too ambitious to do such a big project all at once.
Let me just interject there. So you had to pay a 287 million rand impairment on capitalized software development assets and a further 52 million rand relating to the termination of the IT contract. I know this predates your tenure, but this is a very expensive change of mind. Could this project not have been better thought through before, you know, this total waste of money?
Yeah, so the start of the project was worth a billion rand. So if the contract ran out and we didn't overspend, it would have been a billion rand. So on the one hand, the 287 is unforgivable. It's a big number and it's quite bad. And then to exit the contract, another 50 million. But I think in some ways, we would not have gotten what we wanted out of it. It would not have worked given the change in needs, the change in thinking about the business. And hence, it's better to spend only 287 than more and not get what we want.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's a tough call.
So it's essentially in terms of the design of the IT structure, was there a fundamental flaw with that?
No,
that
I think I think the system is probably fine, but it's international versus South African conditions. Then we wouldn't be able to cater for all our needs. We envisaged something for all the businesses and later on found out and figured out that we actually need it for just a certain part of it, and that didn't fit. So you know, you go through these stages and revamps and a lot of lessons learned.
All right. So your cost-to-income ratio stands at about 76.8%, but you indicate that excluding the costs associated with the termination of the IT contract, the cost-to-income ratio would have been at 74.1%. Yeah. Either way, it does look like quite an onerous ratio. How do you compare to the industry average?
I think in our industry, you would want that lower. And you would want a better number there. And I think the strategy of the previous CEO and the current strategy is to get that to a number like 65 over 5 years. I am hesitant because it is a people intensive business. There is high basic costs, and you don't want your service levels to drop. So because then you lose your clients, and then you don't have a business.
Yeah.
So I think one must always be careful in terms of figuring out those numbers. I don't think the 74 is far off with the similar industry in South Africa. So no two ways about it. We must increase our efficiencies. We must get the right systems to get more lean. But I think for now the number is not that bad.
So I see, Davi, that your investment income took a knock, down 43 million rand to 100 million rand. What do you attribute to that? And given that you manage many thousands of pension funds, how has this impacted your clients' funds?
No, so that was returns on capital and returns on a basic loan that's internal for the company. So it doesn't affect the client's money.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It was basically we had less reserves and therefore
less reserves. Yeah. Okay. And then so now let's stick with the funds that you manage on behalf of your clients. Mm. How did they fare? And with the business, having leadership problems and so on before you came on the scene. How has that impacted on the performance of the funds that you look after?
Yeah, I must say one of the highlights, the underlying businesses are doing very well, but one of the highlights within that is actually the investment business. The investment business did very well from a return point of view for its clients and also from a return point of view for its shareholders. So the underlying returns over the 6 months were 7.5%, which is very much in line, if not more than the market and the average market returns. It is a period from March to September, and we saw the markets decline quite sharply in September, October, November, as we all feel as we sit here. But up until that time, actually quite good returns for our clients, and the feedback is that they're quite happy with the performance.
And in terms of your investment professionals, how have they been managing what's been a very volatile market?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough because clients are asking questions. It's more feedback, so it's more time on the road, more time in front of the clients. But we're also used to it. So as long as clients buy into the longer term strategy of the portfolios and the way it's positioned, I think everybody's seeing the markets, everybody's feeling the markets. But it is a question of reassuring the clients that we're on the right track and spending that face time with them, which is what we're about.
Yeah. So you've highlighted what's happened in terms of the investment side, which you've indicated was positive. Just tell us about your emerging markets business, because I see that was also quite positive.
Yeah, it was nicely positive. Look, it comes from a low base. In fact, so it did very well. And 10% revenue growth is quite good, and a big increase in profits. I think one must recognize that over 90% of that business, the whole emerging market business, is Namibia and Botswana, and those two are recovering and doing well, which is good for us.
So you're the new kid on the block, so to speak. You came into office late September, early October or so. And you have indicated that you are looking at reviewing your market position and your business models. What areas are you looking at, and what are your proposed timelines?
Yeah, so I only joined 1st of November, so okay. I'm even a newer kid on the block.
Yes.
I asked the board for a bit of time. I mean, I think that the current strategy is in place. The businesses are doing very well. The underlying operations are doing well. So I asked for a little bit of time till the end of the year, which is our financial year's end of March, where I want to present to the market, to our shareholders, and especially to our clients and our staff, because everybody really wants some certainty and some clarity as to where we're going. The current strategy involves a lot of things, and all I want to do is tweak it and make it simpler and easier to understand and almost easier to buy in. You know, if staff and the market and the clients buy into what you're trying to do for them, it's much easier to operate from there. So I've bought myself a little bit of time to March, and then we'll have some clarity.
Okay. And then just for clarity again, so barring this IT contract, which went horribly wrong and you've had to, you know, underwrite things and so on, barring that, you would have done okay?
I think it was, we would have been up 9% on profit if we excluded that for the 6 months. 6% up on revenue would have been a very credible result in the current market circumstances. So that indicates that the cash generation of the business, the retention of clients, the normal underlying business model is sound.
Mm. And despite the challenges of this year, I see that you're still giving shareholders a dividend of 18 cents a share, which is unchanged on the same time last year.
Yeah, so again, you see the loss of 45 million, so you would expect the dividend to be removed or reduced. And I think it just shows that we know the underlying business is sound. We know the cash generation is high. It's up from last year. So the business is in a good position, and that's the message we want to send to the market.
Okay, super. Thanks very much, Davi, for your time. That was Davi de Villiers. He's the newly appointed CEO at Alexander Forbes.